Wouldn't it be nice if you could just switch off your HR issues? Then you wouldn't have to deal with payroll, benefits, onboarding, or compliance. Instead, you could focus on growing and improving your business. Well, Arion is that switch. Arion provides attractive and competitive benefits, mitigates employer risks, manages a wide variety of HR transactions, and stays on top of ever-changing employment regulations so you don't have to. Flip the switch and visit Arion to get started. No matter the size, age, or activity level of your best friend, you want a dog food that's natural, feeds great, and is full of all the goodness you demand. That's what's packed into every bag of Country Vet Naturals. Country Vet Naturals is just what the name says. Natural goodness in every bag. Grain-free? Sure. There's a grain-free cat and dog food and treats. Learn more and find a dealer at countryvetnaturals.com. Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets. Trusted by owners.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Arion, Human Resources and More for businesses and nonprofits. Arion.com. Remax Concepts, real estate professionals with offices in the Des Moines Metro, Nevada, and Cedar Rapids. RealEstateConcepts.net.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Thanks for hanging out with us again and obviously for clicking through. We're sitting with Maureen Berger. You've heard Maureen before. She's been with us from Tarot International. She's one of the tarot trainers there. And also, recently we talked with Ben Crosby about presentations and being persuasive. And today we're going to be talking about team teaching, if you will, one of the aspects that goes on at Tarot International. Ben, welcome back. Good to see you as well, Maureen. Thanks for doing this.
My pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
So this is an interesting thing. And this is a very narrow segment of the audience for us, because not everyone teaches, not everyone gives presentations. So we're going to be very selective here, talking to individuals who may be in that space of doing presentations before a group, but at the same time, team presentations. And there's a different dynamic there. Would you agree, Ben?
Absolutely.
How so?
One of the major differences when you're training or teaching with a partner is making sure you're both on the same page in terms of organizing the presentation. Hmm. When I'm by myself, I'm more than happy to be flexible, to improvise a little bit, to change things up. If I do that with a partner, it really wrecks the dynamic between you and her or you and him.
Well, that would really set somebody off. Maureen, when we're talking about this type of a relationship in teaching, you've got to know each other's part as well. This is almost like being in a play.
Most definitely. So prior to Ben and I or whoever my co-facilitator may be, before we even get in front of that classroom, about a week beforehand, we decide who is doing which part of the training. And it's very coordinated beforehand.
Sure.
And we know exactly what the handoff is. Now, there are some parts that we're actually training together. For example, when we welcome people back today, Ben and I, we do a section together. Before we get up there, we go through, okay, what's the handoff going to be? So we know. Now, we've worked together for some time now, so we kind of have that sinking down so we know quite well how we're going to hand that off. But with every time you have a co-facilitator, we have to go through that so it's seamless to the people who are listening in the class.
Because the people that are listening in the class are really your basic consumer. They're the people that you're trying to involve.
Yes.
And so if this is stilted or if there are troubles with the handoff or if it's not well coordinated, that causes a glitch in the learning process, I suspect.
It can not only cause a glitch in the learning process, but it can take away from our credibility
Absolutely.
As well if we're walking over each other.
Yeah, and that's so important. As Ben and I were talking about the other day, the most important thing to be is be trustworthy. If people have trust in whatever it is that you're doing and delivering, they're much more receptive to what it is that you're delivering. Maureen, how did you get started with tarot? What's your background?
I started with tarot 3 years ago, but prior to that, I was a stay-at-home mom. Before becoming a stay-at-home mom, I was in corporate America. I was a vice president of call center operations for a large insurance broker. And I wanted to get back into the corporate world, but still have a flexible schedule so I could raise my family. And so being a contract trainer for tarot allows me to do that, where I'm involved in so many different companies now, but I can also still have that flexible schedule to be with my family as well.
Yeah, and that's an interesting transition from a call center management in corporate America to a teacher.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. How difficult was that transition?
For me, I didn't find it very difficult because as a leader in a company, I was constantly mentoring and leading people. And you know, you're training people to do your job in a sense because that's how you lead people to bring them up through the ranks. So doing this was just a little bit more coordinated and not so much on the fly as I did before, but it was definitely not that difficult of a transition. I truly enjoy it.
And Ben, you come from academia and from Iowa State University?
That's correct.
And you teach what there?
Speech, rhetoric, persuasion, the very theories and principles that I apply here at Tarot.
And how long have you been with Tarot?
Just about a year.
Yeah?
Not very long.
What made the decision for you to become an adjunct, if you will, with Tarot International?
I've always been interested in doing something more applied. I love my job as an academic. I love doing the research. I love hanging out in my office all by myself reading. I love being in the classroom. But it's true what they say. Most academic work remains in an abstract context for people. I wanted at some point in my life to get a taste of what these theories and concepts translate like in the real world with real people who have real jobs and who need these skills. So I was interested in a more concrete experience, and that's what I'm getting here.
It really is one thing to be able to teach this versus in a very controlled environment as in a university, and then to actually go out with the people who are needing to utilize the tools.
Right.
Very interesting. So as you team teach, if you will, or you lead through these discussions, what are some of the benefits and drawbacks of doing that work, Ben?
Team teaching?
Yeah.
I think a major benefit is really basic and practical. Yesterday, I showed up with my fly down, and Maureen had to point that out to me. So I would not have known this. I would have shown up in front of the classroom. We have a very controlled environment here, and we have a very controlled process. I like that about what we do because it was early in the morning. You have to show up, get the whole room set up. I showed up. I was a little bit hurried, and Maureen just looked me in the eye and said, I can't remember how you put it, but you said,
get it together, man.
Yeah, right. So, and can you imagine if I were alone and I just waited for all of the participants to show up? So that's one major benefit. You get each other's back. You help each other out. You're really honest with each other. There's no element of holding back when it comes to making sure the product we offer is in tip-top shape. That means if your clothes are wrinkled, that means if there's something on your face, someone's going to tell you, and you appreciate that fact.
I could well imagine. One of the things, Maureen, that I would suspect goes along with this is that the audience is going to, I would imagine, pick a favorite or one that they relate to, maybe not favorite, an individual that they relate to better. If you're solo teaching, you get what you get. But if you're team teaching in that aspect, some people can perhaps appreciate more one of the instructors over another for whatever reason, and maybe delve into the learning process better?
That could happen. I have to say, I don't think that I've ever had that happen. The one thing about what we do with our model here is that we work so closely together that it really is, even though we have different styles, Ben and I have clearly very different training styles, but yet we're training the same product. And we actually train another class together as well, that we really work off of each other's personalities and where it's seamless together. If it comes across to our end users that we're that different, where they start favoring one over the other, then we're not doing something right.
Got it. Okay.
It has to really be
That's cohesive. Really interesting.
I will add this, though. I agree. We do not experience a moment where someone says, well, I really like this person, but not this person. However, I like your point, Michael. I think in these long 8-hour-a-day classes, these workshops that are 7-8 hours a day for 2 days, it would be fatiguing to be exposed to only one person during that entire time. I think that's one major benefit to having two people. Even though they don't pick favorites, I think it's nice to change it up a little bit so that they don't get sick of one personality for 2 full days.
Yeah, and it is a long time. And this is much, much different than taking a one-hour class 3 times a week.
That's right.
Yeah, and so this is very intense. If there are individuals out there, and I suspect there are in corporate America all over the place listening to this conversation that we're having, what tips might you give other team teachers out there if you could list maybe 3 things that you would suggest that they consistently do on a regular basis to make sure that their message is hitting home? That would really be very helpful. Maureen, what do you got?
Some tips that I would have, first of all and foremost, is that preparation in advance. Work with whoever your co-facilitator is or your co-teacher and establish who is going to do what so you have a clear understanding when you enter that classroom. The second thing is that Ben touched on it, is really having the open and honest feedback with each other. That if something's not working, that you let that other person know so that you can be on the same page. And then, Ben, I don't know if you want to add.
I'll add a related one. One way we make sure that feedback happens is we debrief at the end of each day. I think that's a major benefit to the team teaching. It's difficult to do after a long day. You're both extremely tired. You want to go home. You want to get in a car and veg for a while. But it's important to sit down and say, here's what went well. Here's what we'd like to do differently. That debrief session is critical. And we have a formal evaluation system that we use as well. And that evaluation, which is a paper form or it's an electronic form, gets sent to the vice president here at Taro. So throughout every stage of the process, we're preparing, doing, then reviewing.
Preparing, doing, and then reviewing. Great 3 points, by the way. No wonder he's teaching rhetoric. What does it take? You know, lots of people, and we have had many of these individuals, and all good, excellent individuals, who work in the space of professional coaching or professional development of individuals, brand building, speaking, those types of things. What is it different about Taro that maybe people don't understand on the surface? What's below that makes a Taro trainer a Taro trainer?
I'll add one thing and then I'll turn it over to Maureen. The thing that attracted me to Taro personally is that it's based in research. All of the content is based in research. This is not a company that believes in the glittering, feel-good, inspirational sort of you can become whatever you want to become paradigm. That's nice. It's nice to be inspired. But what's even nicer is to have a set of concrete skills and tools that are based in research, which you can apply in your daily life the moment you leave the workshop. That's what attracted me.
Yeah, and Maureen, what about you? What attracted you to this, other than the flexibility that we talked about earlier?
Well, and I completely echo what Ben says. Yeah. The fact that this class, what we teach is based on research, it makes me feel good about what I'm sharing with individuals. But what I also like too is that we see change and growth within a class. It's not just you're not just attending
a
class.
So this is the fulfillment for you.
Most definitely. When you see people in 2 days go from one level of skill to a completely different level of skill that they can walk out of the classroom with a change. Now, it's on them to keep that change going and that momentum going. But to see that happen in 2 days, it really, as a part of person of me that really likes to help people grow and lead them and see change, to see that happen in such a short amount of time, it's amazing.
Let's pony up on that question as well, though. Once an individual leaves, I don't care whose program it happens to be, whether it's a motivational program, a feel-good program, an intellectual discussion, or research-based training such as this, it is on those individuals to continue. How does Taro reach out to former graduates or former individuals to kind of keep them in the loop? Is there a planned method for doing that, Maureen?
We actually offer a lot of different tools for our graduates of our class. We want people to consider Tarot their ongoing learning resource partner. Not a charge for that. Like we provide them access to the graduates only portion of our website, which is full of information. We send out weekly email information that will give them quick tips on interpersonal skills, selling skills, whatever it may be that relates to the professional development. And in addition, the owner of Tarot, Ro Crosby, and our chief learning officer, Deb Rinner, they wrote a book, Your Invisible Toolbox, and that is packed full of 100 additional tools that will help you with keeping these skills alive.
Now, by the way, with a compendium card deck.
Yes.
Which is really cool. I got one just the other day, and Deborah gave me one. And what a handy little gadget to be able to utilize to strengthen those various learning tools
yes.
that have been passed through Tarot.
And they're not time
no.
intensive. And that's what's nice. So many people think, I need another 2-day class. Where really, just in a few minutes, you can sit down and go through an exercise to really keep those skills sharp and alive.
We're talking with Maureen Berger, ladies and gentlemen, and also Ben Crosby, two of the Tarot trainers at Tarot International. By the way, we will have links to Tarot International on the radio blog so you can find out more about the company. What's next for you guys? As you take a look at this, Ben, you've been here just a bit over a year. Maureen, you've been 3 years with the company. As you look at this, how have you grown in your ability to relate to individuals, and what do you think might be the next step in your training world?
I would start with the fact that Tarot offers a number of workshops, and we as trainers can certify in each one of those workshops. It's an ongoing process for me. I've certified in two. I think most of us are certified in two, one or two. I'd like to certify in a third. These workshops range anywhere from presentation skills, like our signature workshop, to selling, to change management, even to image consulting. So you never have to stop learning as an individual or as a tarot trainer. So for me, the next step is to certify in an additional course. More personally, when I first took this workshop, I started applying the skills that day when I ordered lunch. I remember it well. And in the classroom, since that's where I spend most of my time.
What did you do? What? Yeah.
I appreciate that question because I went to the counter at a restaurant here in Des Moines. It might have been Zumerix. And made sure I looked the person in the eye and held their eye contact for several seconds as I ordered my food. And I tried to smile as well. And I wanted to gauge if I was going to get a different interpersonal reaction from this person. And sure enough, I did. People really underestimate these old-fashioned tools. We show in the workshop how they still work. If you look someone in the eye and smile at them, you're a different human being to them.
That is a great opening. I have to tell you this story. Just last night, it was an event at the Iowa Cubs game. And so I was at the Iowa Cubs game, and I went up to order some food. And you know, one of the other cool things that I've learned from Tarot, as a matter of fact. So, you know, hey, hands on the Bible, guys. I'm telling the truth. One of the other things about not only looking individuals in the eye who are serving you is to, if you can, call them by name. And his name was Quincy.
Yeah.
And Quincy, I said to Quincy what my order was, and then I said, you know, you happen to be, Quincy, perhaps one of the happiest people I've ever seen working behind a counter. And, you know, he just lit up, and you could tell that his whole attitude was changing. And that really is service on the other side. Would you agree, Maureen?
Most definitely. And that's one thing that we share with people when they attend one of our workshops, especially the impact skills workshop. Don't wait until your next presentation to utilize these skills. They can be used in any area of your life with your family. I mean, like how about the connections that you can have with your family by looking at them in the eye, asking how we ask questions of our family members versus, you know, sound like an interrogator, really. You know, it really just opens up more conversations. And I notice that my conversations that I have just with my children are richer because of how I'm utilizing these skills at home.
Yeah, it really is a fantastic opportunity for individuals not only to polish their personal brand and their corporate brand, but also take that on a very personal level into their home and family. Thanks, guys, for visiting with us. I really appreciate it. I always learn something, and I know the folks that listen to the podcast do as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Love your show.